Friends, this week you may have heard the story of a young woman named Rebecca Mara. She's a professional runner, and she was on her way to the grocery store to get groceries, and as she was getting ready to enter the store, she heard someone yelling out. And so as she turned to look where the sound was coming from, she noticed that there was an elderly woman and her husband in a car with the window barely rolled down. And so she goes over to them, and she notices that the woman is in tears. And she explains that she's afraid to go into the store because she and her husband are about 80 years old, and they're really afraid of being affected disproportionately from the coronavirus. And so she asked the woman, she says, "Could I give you this $100 bill and my grocery list, and would you do my grocery shopping for me?" Well, Rebecca took the list and she took the money and she bought their groceries for them. And when she got home, she posted her story on social media and it went viral. And when she was interviewed by a reporter about her experience, she was asked, what did she want people to take away from her experience? And here's what she said. She said, "These are trying times. If someone can't get the essentials, we should look out for them. We should look out for our neighbors. We should look out for the people in our community. Kindness helps. Be kind to your neighbor." I love this story because Rebecca, in the face of fear, chose to live into her faith, offering kindness to her neighbor, helping them move through their fear during these challenging times. And the world right now seems like a scary place for many of us. The changes we are being asked to make, the ways in which we are being forced to think about our world and our surroundings feels new and it feels different. Perhaps you identify with the couple in the car and are afraid to engage the world as it is, for good reason. Maybe it's for health reasons, and maybe every minute you're being asked to think about your well-being differently than you had before. Or perhaps you identify with Rebecca. You know that there's a reason for concern. You're following all the precautions, but you're also living into your faith to not miss the opportunity to help those and notice those around you so that they might feel more safe, more cared for, to practice kindness, to trust in God together. What I love about this story is that both people in this story needed each other to trust in God. And so do we during these times of uncertainty. In our reading today, we have two stories, which I absolutely love, that teach us how to move through fear during challenging times and times of uncertainty. The story of Moses and the Israelites, and the story of the woman at the well in the gospel. When I am feeling uncertain or I'm feeling challenged, I know that the first place that I go for inspiration is the stories of faith. Moses, in this first story, leads the Israelites from bondage and enslavement from Egypt to freedom. And as they move along further into the wilderness, they are forced to deal with their fears. They have traveled a long way. They're unable to find water for themselves and for their livestock, and they panic. The people are afraid. They're afraid that they have made the wrong choice in leaving with Moses. They're afraid that God has abandoned them at the time of need. They're afraid that Moses has set them up to die of thirst in the desert. But they are not the only ones afraid. Moses is afraid too. He's afraid that the relationships and the trust that he built is in jeopardy with the people. And he's afraid that their anger and their fear will end in him being physically harmed by stoning. But what does Moses do with his fear and his anxiety? He does what we are all called to do when we are feeling that. He relies on God. He relies on God. Moses cries out to God in this story, and God gives him instruction to take the same staff that he used at the river in Egypt and to strike the rock in Horeb. And God says, "Know that I will be standing there in front of you on the rock in Horeb. So God's message to Moses is use what you already have. And that's God's message to us. Use what you already have. And what do we have? We have our faith. We can trust in the ability that God will provide for us and that God will take care of our needs as God does for Moses. Moses' faith worked once at that river, and it will work again here at this rock. So Moses strikes it, and God causes water to come from the rock for the people to drink. And then I thought, perhaps this is where the phrase comes, between a rock and a hard place. But who is between the rock and the hard place? God. God is always between the rock and the hard place. This wilderness experience is where they realize that God was with them, just as we always know that God is with us. Because we know that fear can make us question, as they did in this first reading, where is God? But then faith answers that and assures us that God is always present and at the ready to supply our needs. And that is exactly what the woman in the gospel story today discovers. She finds herself, because of her life circumstances, she too is gripped with fear and anxiety. This fear and anxiety of what other people think about her life, her faith tradition, the mountain she prays on. She is at a crisis of relationships within her own community. Her anxiety brings her to a well at noon, at the hottest point of the day, to avoid the crowds who would be drawing water. She imposes social distancing upon herself as a form of protection for her own heart. And then this day that she comes to this well is different than any other day for her, because normally she's able to get in and out. But today she encounters Jesus. And when she encounters Jesus, he asks something of her. Jesus asks something of her, and he says, "Give me something to drink." I like that because God always asks something of us during the most difficult times that we find ourselves in. He asks her to give him something to drink, and in return, she begins to unload her fears and her anxiety. And yet, in this intimate exchange, as she begins to have this one-on-one with Jesus, he begins to allay all of her fears and attend to her every anxiety and answer her every question until she feels fully known, revealing to her that he is the Messiah and that she has been waiting for. He is the one who that she can rely on for living water. Like her, it is at the deepest wells, friends, of our lives that God offers us that living water that sustains. He does it for her, and in these times, he's doing it for us. And so she's so deeply moved by Jesus' love for her, his compassion, his attention to her, that this encounter changes her life and those in her community, that she runs to and leaves her bucket and she shares this experience with them. And the whole town comes out to be with Jesus. They invite him to come and stay with them for 2 days. And it is one of the few places in the gospel where Jesus attends to and transforms a whole community, friends, by simply being present to them and journeying with them with his presence. Why do these stories teach us, and what do they teach us? I think they teach us that during these times of challenge, we can choose to live in fear or take the bridge of faith, where we find God and our hearts open to what we need and what others need from us. In our world right now, because of coronavirus, we, along with many people around our country, find ourselves challenged with anxiety and with fear. But it is in these moments we are called to remember who we are. We are people of faith. So when we're afraid and we're anxious, there's really only one thing to do, and that is to trust God will meet us where we are, just as God does the Israelites and the woman at the well. We've decided here at Spiritus Christi to take the advice of the experts from CDC and our medical community to cancel large gatherings, over 50 people, to keep the possibility of transmission low. We will continue to provide sanitizer at church and disinfectant wipes, protecting our parishioners, especially the elderly and those who are vulnerable with compromised immune systems, until our medical community learns more about COVID-19. But we know that it is highly contagious. And so while these are challenging times, we know that we don't have to panic. We just have to follow instruction, because we know that God is right here with us. The same God that was with us yesterday is with us today. The same God who saw us through H1N1, as Father Jim said, the Spanish flu, Ebola outbreak, and the bird flu, will see us through this as well. In fact, Christianity has had a 2,000-year history with epidemics and outbreaks. We know how to do this. These are times to live into our faith and give God our anxiety and trust that all is well. There is wisdom in the words of the Apostle Paul, who comes to us during these times, and he reminds us, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything give thanks through prayer and supplication." And I love that, because focusing on gratitude and thanksgiving is a wonderful way to deal with our fears. One of our parishioners, Jane Bleeg, who is Jewish, attached a wonderful reflection on her email this week to me from a friend of hers named Lynn Unger, and it was entitled "Pandemic." And here's part of what it said. "What if we thought of this pandemic as the Jews consider the Sabbath, the most sacred of times? A time of ceasing from travel, from buying and selling, to give up just for now on trying to make the world different than it is. And when your body has become still, to reach out with your heart. Know that we are connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful." It ends by inviting us to promise the world our love, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, so long as we all shall live. I absolutely love the thought of embracing this time as an extended Sabbath during Lent. It's an opportunity to make our 40-day retreat with Jesus more meaningful and to practice more love and more kindness. And so while we may not be able to gather in large groups, we can still pray together. We can gather in small groups and stay connected as we embrace this time of stillness and caution, paying attention to perhaps the things we are too busy to pay attention to before. We have small Christian communities in our parish as a wonderful model of how to do that. There's room for many more. Maybe you want to call over a small group of friends from church and host a 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning live stream gathering. Maybe you have a small Christian community or a group of friends that you call over and let's get together for coffee and let's watch the live stream mass together. You can break bread together and you can allow us to consecrate your communion elements remotely as we continue to share a meal together that we will share in a few minutes. Davis told me that we have a goal of getting 500 of you on live stream. The time that you're going to spend on retreat. Perhaps you could use that time to do other things. Maybe to take communion to a shut-in, or go for a walk in nature to spend time with God, or attend a daily Mass on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, or make an appointment with Father Jim and I to connect one-on-one. Maybe you want to provide a meal for a hungry child, or buy groceries for an elderly couple, or read a book, or sing a song, or write a song. Friends, I know that when I am feeling impatient, as many of you probably are, I remember the words from the letters of St. Paul to James, that the trying of our faith works patience. So let patience, he says, have its perfect work. I know that our faith is being tested during this time, but we will persevere. These are times to live in our wisdom. And so as we walk in wisdom together, friends, listening to the advice that we have been given and following the directions on how to stay healthy and how to guard against the virus, we know that at the end of the day, we will keep loving each other, caring for each other, figuring out how to stay connected to one another. You see, this is our moment to encounter God and in Jesus in moments of wilderness and times of longing, just like the Israelites and the woman at the well. She was able to move through her fear, through kindness to others in her whole community, by sharing her encounter with Jesus and inspiring the entire community to have a transformational experience. Our community will be transformed for the better as well. I've already seen signs of it. One parishioner told me that he bought extra hand sanitizer for the elderly people at a second church that he attends. Another parishioner texted me and said, "I'm concerned for the children in need of food, and I'd like to know how I can help somehow." I saw a post on Facebook where a college student wrote to a group and said, "I'm home from college. If anyone needs me to watch their children, I'm available." I love that. It reminds me of a beautiful quote that says, "Faith is the bridge between where I am and where God wants me to be." And this is where God wants us to be, friends. So let's take the bridge of faith together. Faith in God, faith in ourselves, and faith in our community. Because it is there that we will discover our deepest truths and know who we really are, Spiritus Christi. And who are we? We are a community that has always chosen love and faith over fear.